With the gospel words we hear today, we enter into a cosmic drama. We see the moon not giving its light, the stars falling from heaven. These are dramatic images that the Lord presents to us, which hearken to the end of the world, but is still relevant for this time, as it was for the time of Christ. It points to the reality that this world as we know it, the heavens and the earth, the skies, will pass away. That nothing that we see here is permanent in an earthly way. The mountains in their majesty, the seas in their grandeur, the cathedrals, this church, any of our monuments to humanity, all these will burn away in the end. What will last is our faith, that which we have built up in the Lord in love. This will echo into eternity. But you know that there will be challenges and tribulations and difficulties before the end. For each human being that lives long enough, this is true in their personal lives. And it will be for humanity as a whole. In this month of November, it's traditional to meditate upon those last things. And one of those is what we call eschatology, the ultimate last things of the world. See, the words of Jesus here had a fulfillment in his time. There was a destruction of the world as they knew it, is that Israel was dispersed. It seemed as if the Son of Man was coming upon Israel as there were signs in the skies. Chariots seemed to be flying before the destruction of Jerusalem. This was a fulfillment of that generation seeing a return of the Son of Man. But there is also a fulfillment for all of humanity. And this enters into a different way of seeing history and time. See, as we hear these symbols, here it is the stars, the sun, the moon. In the first reading, we heard of Michael, the archangel. This harkens to the angelic realm. Our way of seeing things is not the only way of understanding creation and time. In our human way, we tend to look towards the scientists now who say the universe could be up to 20 billion years old, according to our understanding of motion and the way that the physics points, as opposed to generally accepted since Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XII, before Vatican II. But this is only a certain data, a certain way of looking at the universe. You see, it doesn't really have much meaning to say that the universe goes back for 20 billion years if there was no one to see it, no intelligent being to see it. Even the explanation of physics leaves something to mystery before light was as we knew it, before the galaxies were as we know them now. How could we say that there was time in our sense? If we look at the way that the angels look at time, it is different from ours. It seems to be what is important to them are the events in history of salvation. There was a creation. There was the creation of animals, of vegetables. Then there was the creation of man. Then there was a battle for the soul of man. These are the important events in the history of salvation. Doesn't matter how many particles were flowing around the universe between the events. In this sense, it is event time, the movements of intellectual beings, which is important. Then the description, both mythological and historical, in the book of Genesis of the 6 days is put in context, that which is important for the history of salvation leading to the seventh day, the worship of God, is what is highlighted there. And we know from further revelation that there was a battle in the heavens before man came on the scene, between the angels and what became the demons. In the book of Genesis, God created everything good. You continually hear him saying he created the waters and the earth good, the skies, the moon and the stars good, the vegetables and the plants good, the fish and the animals good, man good. But when thence does disturbances and difficulties come? It comes from sin. First in the angels who became demons, and then in humanity. And we could, as some speculate, say that the place which Adam and Eve lived is separated from us in such a way that we cannot return there. Even another world, another universe, still connected to ours, but a place that we can no longer approach. In this, we enter into a mystery that is beyond our human way of understanding things. The mystery of time and God's plan, the battle of the angels in the angelic realm, and the drama of the history of salvation. We have been given further details about that history of salvation, about what will come. It has been given to us that we will hear and encounter a figure that we call the Antichrist. It is explained in the official teaching of the Catholic Church and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is nothing purely speculation. It says, before Christ's second coming, the Church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity, the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. This supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. So it is part of the teaching of the Church that there is and will be a figure we call the Antichrist. The tradition fills in other details. It is a true human being, not just a myth or a symbol, that he will develop some kind of world government that will persecute the whole of the world and all Christian believers, as we hear in St. Paul further in the scriptures, that he will only come after the great apostasy of all of a majority of believing Christians from the faith. And we have further details in the prophecies that in the book of Revelation that he will be able to reign for 3.5 years, that he will give to those who are marked off to follow him the mark of the beast. But we should understand what this means in the scriptural context. It is opposite of the mark of Christ. So if you pay attention in the book of Revelation, those who are for Jesus Christ are marked off on their forehead with the cross by an angel that goes along, the Tau. In this context, those who are marked off for Christ are those who have accepted the faith of Jesus Christ, persevered in that faith even through trials and tribulations, and are marked off for salvation. So it is a spiritual mark. The opposite of that is the work of the Antichrist, who tries to mock all things of Christ, just like Satan tries to mock the work of God and Jesus Christ, is to mark off souls for Satan. Is that there will be some way in which souls will accept to give, by their choices, to give themselves more and more over to the work of Satan and his empty promises. So it's not been interpreted as a physical mark necessarily, a microchip, but rather that your choices towards mortal sin, towards certain ideas, and following the work of the evil one marks you for Satan. In further speculation, we can imagine that if the Antichrist were come, is it always an if, either in our time or in 1,000 years from now, it's always a matter of expectations that we never can quite be clear, so we might be afraid that he could come in our time and be prepared. The explanations have been that he will be a world leader, loved by many nations. He will do great signs like Jesus Christ, but there'll be false signs, draw many people to himself in adoration, and they'll draw all religions together in as one, apart from the salvation of Jesus Christ. See, another mark of the Antichrist that St. John gives to us is that he will deny that Jesus Christ became in the flesh, that is, that he is the Son of God, and that he truly became human. So the opposite of that is Jesus is just one Savior among many, or that he is not God. He is one way among many to a sort of salvation, that is the deception of the Antichrist, or that the work of Jesus Christ is not that important. Another deception of the Antichrist. So you can see there has been many Antichrists throughout history who have put forth these ideas. The Catechism of the Catholic Church further explains the Antichrist deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history the messianic hope, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. That is, that there will be some kind of utopia, heaven on earth, that we can solve our problems through some ideology, through some new political movement. This is another deception of the Antichrist. So if you see the signs, the classical signs have been a great falling away of people from the faith, also the conversion of the Jews into the faith, a rising up of a figure that brings all religions together, who denies Jesus Christ as the one true Savior, then you know that we are in the time of the Antichrist. And it has been proposed that there are two possible timings for that. That there is a great tribulation, a falling, which includes the falling away of many, a great battle, the Antichrist comes, and then the end of the world comes immediately. Or another tradition says that there will be a time of minor tribulations, the Antichrist will come, the people of God will have great leaders who will help them to overcome the Antichrist, the Lord will purify the world. There will be a great time of peace, maybe for 1,000 years or more on earth, in which there still can be sin, And then there will be a battle, a final battle, and then the end of the world. Either way, this points us towards meditation, that this world as we know it is not the final word or word. And it's to recognize that the Lord has a plan beyond this world. As I mentioned in the beginning, that everything will be burned. This is not a despairing note, because this type of fire will be a transformative fire. Everything as we know it will be burned so that it can be transformed into something beyond our imagination. New and grander mountains, new and grander ocean, a new and grander skies, a new and grander earth. In the image of the book of Revelation, we are given that heaven will come down upon earth. There will be no more sin, no more disease, no more death. That everything will glorify the Lord. There will be no more darkness even. That there will be light throughout all of creation. This is a hopeful message. Then if we see the signs of deceptions and difficulties, an Antichrist or the Antichrist in our time, we shouldn't despair. The Lord has a plan. And recognize that we are called to respond to this plan wherever we find ourselves, with the response of a child, with the response of a mother. The child who believes, trusts. The mother who loves, like Mother Mary, loves through all. This is the response in the battle of the ideas that are presented to us in the world. See, this is where the spiritual battle takes place. We have all these dramatic signs, but really it takes place in your hearts, in your minds, in your will. Will you accept to trust the Lord? Whether you exceed the drama in the cosmos in our times, or the mundane boringness of everyday life, will you trust like the child does? Will you love like a mother does, Mother Mary? That is a simple response. That is what the Lord is calling us to. So there's no need necessarily to run after speculations about these end times things and to be living in the latest prophecies and words, but to be trusting in the Lord every day, to be loving the grace of the Lord like Mother Mary did. That is what will win the spiritual battle. That is what will bring us to our heavenly homeland. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah.